When you are baptized, you are identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We take the person, we put the person down under the water, that's death and burial. We raise that person back up, that's resurrection. That's what it speaks of. That's the visual that speaks of the invisible. In Romans 6, Paul writes, "We were baptized into his death, buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we also should walk in newness of life."
Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "The Christian life is a life of crucifixion. In baptism, the form of Christ's death is impressed upon his own. They are dead to the flesh and to sin. They are dead to the world, and the world is dead to them." Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig gives us a clear picture of what baptism means for us today. And after the teaching, we go in studio with Skip and Lenya as they share more about the significance of baptism.
And it's important for people to go and be baptized because they need to experience the symbolism of leaving the old behind. When you repent of your sins, that's something you do inwardly. When you get baptized, that's something you do outwardly.
Jesus Christ offers us freedom from sin and victory over death. Learn how to revitalize your walk with him in this month's resource featuring Battle Drum's debut album, The War Is Over, as well as several lifestyle booklets from Skip Heitzig. These tools will empower you to stand boldly for Christ and live out your faith with determination. Take advantage of this opportunity today. Order this resource right now. Here are all the details.
The world promises freedom, but guess what? It's a scam. Here's Skip Heitzig.
We have political freedom and we have all sorts of different kinds of freedoms, and yet we've discovered we're more in bondage in many areas. There's a deeper kind of freedom.
Discover a path to freedom with this month's Connection resource. For a suggested donation of $30, we'll send you a pack of 6 lifestyle booklets from Skip that will help you find true freedom in your walk with Christ. You'll also receive a booklet from Lenya Heitzig about the power of words. In addition, we'll send you Battle Drums, an inspiring new worship album, The War Is Over, on CD.
Our God will fight for us. Our God will fight for us. He will be victorious.
Order this resource package today by calling 800-922-1888 or by visiting connectiononline.org. That's 800-922-1888. It's time to discover the freedom that Jesus offers and celebrate with the Fresh Battle Drums Worship Project.
So the word for all of us is to grow up and to grow deep in Him. And the more you do, the freer you will discover you become.
Now, let's grab our Bibles and open it once again to 1 Peter chapter 3 as we join Skip for today's study.
Then, salvation is itself a baptism. 1 Corinthians 12, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, one group, one community, the body of believers. John the Baptist spoke of 3 baptisms when he said, "I baptize you with water, but somebody is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So it means to be immersed. Next question, how did it come from then the secular world into the religious spiritual world? It wasn't the Christians, it was the Jewish people. If you wanted to become a Jewish person, you were a proselyte, a convert, there were 3 requirements. Instruction by a scribe, a teacher, circumcision if you were a male, and immersion in water or baptism. J.B. Lightfoot, a New Testament scholar, describes a Gentile coming to be converted into Judaism. And he writes this, "As soon as he grows whole or is healed of the wound of circumcision, they bring him to the baptism, and being in the water, they again instruct him in some of the weightier and some of the lighter commands of the law, which being heard, he plunges himself and comes up, and behold, he is an Israelite in all things." So it symbolized a Gentile leaving the pagan world and coming to a whole new life, whole new identity, whole new community, a covenant relationship with God. Also, the Jews had these things they dug out of the rocks, pools. One was called a mikvah. Several were mikvaot. They were pools dug out of the rocks for baptism. So if you wanted to go up to the temple to worship, you would first immerse all the way in and out, dry off, and go up to the temple. If you had become defiled by touching somebody dead or touching someone with a bloody flow, you also had to be ritually cleansed before you could attend worship. So if you were a Gentile converting to Judaism, or you needed ritual purification, you were baptized. So here's the next question. If it had a secular connotation that the Jews took and practiced, then how did it come to be a Christian thing? Well, we open up the New Testament, and one of the first characters we come to is this crazy hippie out in the desert, eating bugs. And his name is John the Baptist. I think John the Baptizer would be a better term, because otherwise you'll just think he's a Southern Baptist or something. He was John the Baptizer. He was dunking people in the Jordan River. Why the Jordan River? Because rivers were considered living water. They're not stagnant, they're moving. They're alive. They're going from one place to the other. So it was perfectly appropriate to baptize people in living water, flowing water. So there he is, baptizing people. But get this, he's not baptizing Gentiles to make them Jews. He's baptizing Jews. And that's why the Jewish leaders said, whoa, what's up with this? We're sons of Abraham. And John the Baptist said, don't think within yourself we're sons of Abraham. God can make sons of Abraham out of rocks. He said, the Messiah is coming and you need to repent and get ready for him. And this is a baptism unto repentance. So, for a Jew to get baptized by John the Baptist, since baptism was for outsiders to become insiders, they had to essentially admit, I'm an outsider. I may be religious, I may be sincere, but I'm an outsider who needs repentance, and my religion isn't enough. So baptism recalls a principle. Now let's look at the third thread, and then we'll tie it all together. The third thread of this is that baptism reveals power. And the power that it reveals isn't your power. There's only one power to give you new life, and that's Jesus' power from his resurrection. When he rose from the dead, he conquered death. And when he says, I can give you new life, he proved it by his own resurrection. That's the power. That's also in verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Peter doesn't want his audience thinking that going down in the water itself is what saves you. Because he said it's not the removal of the filth of the flesh. He wants them to know that he's referring to a spiritual reality when he says it's the answer, or as some translations say, the appeal of a good conscience toward God. So just like Noah and his family walked into that ark, you know what happened when they did? They said goodbye to the old life. What was left of the old life? Nothing. It was drowned. It was gone. They walked into the ark, said goodbye to their old life, and hello to a new life, wherever that boat is going to land. So when we come to Christ, we leave the old life, we enter Jesus Christ and start a brand new life. And the new life we start is the life that we are enabled to live by his resurrection. When we believe that he died, we believe that he rose, we have a good conscience. We have a clear conscience before God. So the only baptism that saves is a dry baptism, not a wet baptism. Being baptized in Christ, the wet, symbolizes what we've done. Now, it brings up this question, or it really answers the question. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? Nope. You have to be saved to be baptized. Again, do you have to be baptized to be saved? No, you have to be saved to be baptized. In Acts chapter 8, there was a guy from Ethiopia. Remember him, the official, the Ethiopian eunuch? He's going back from Jerusalem back home, and he's reading the scriptures. And Philip joins himself to that chariot, and they happen to be reading, go figure, Isaiah chapter 53, the messianic passage. Philip leads him to Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch sees water, and he says, look, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you can be baptized. Got to believe. And then he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At that, they got up, went down, and Philip baptized him. The Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 16 said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Notice what is first, believing. Baptism follows. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now you might be thinking, aha, see, you do have to be baptized to be saved. But let me finish out the sentence. Then he said, he who does not believe will be condemned. How do you stay condemned? By not believing. He didn't say, he who does not believe and is not baptized. So why does he even mention baptism? Because baptism follows faith. See, there may be circumstances that would not allow a person to get baptized. If you're on your deathbed, you're in an oxygen tent, you're hooked up to monitors, and somebody comes in and says, wait, we have to fully immerse this person before he can get to heaven. Not going to happen. It's like the thief on the cross who says, Lord, he turns to him, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It'd be kind of silly if Jesus said, boy, I'd like to help you out, but you know, there's just no water around here that I can baptize you in. Sorry. He said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. That faith did it. Now, there is a passage of Scripture I want to read to you, because those who believe in baptismal regeneration, got to be baptized to be saved, will often quote. In fact, it is sort of like their holy grail of quoting Scriptures when it comes to this. And that's Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Let me just whip that out. Let me read it to you. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And they'll say, aha, see, you do have to be baptized to be saved, because he said, repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, which means, they say, in order that your sins will be forgiven. Hold that thought. TiVo that thought. Push the pause button. That word for the remission of sins, is the Greek word eis, E-I-S. We would transliterate it. It can mean for, it can mean in order that, and it can mean because of. And that's what it means. Because of. Here's an example. Let's say I have my arm around a soldier up here, an American soldier who's fought in several battles. He's highly decorated. And I say to you, this soldier has been decorated for bravery. Do I mean he has been decorated in order that he may become a brave soldier? No, I mean he is decorated because he is a brave soldier. So, that's why most modern translations put it this way, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ as an expression of the remission of your sins. Your sins have been remitted, and baptism points to that or shows that. I've always loved that little text in the letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes them and he says, you know, when I was with you, I didn't baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius. Oh yeah, and the household of Stephanas. That was it. I didn't baptize anybody else. Here's why. He said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What? See, if you believe in baptism or regeneration, you would never separate the two. One means the other. Baptism means the gospel. But he said, Jesus didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Listen, if Paul believed in baptism or regeneration, he'd have brought a hot tub with him wherever he went. Some tub of water to, wait, got to dunk you in this. So now we're forced with one final question to answer. Why then should I get baptized? What's the point of it all then? Why should I be baptized? Let me give you two quick reasons. Number one, instruction. Number two, identification. First of all, instruction. Jesus instructed, taught, commanded. Go into all the world, make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If Jesus said to do it, what do? You do it. Well, I need to know what you do. He said, do it. Jesus said, if you love me, what will you do if you love Jesus? You'll keep my commandments. That ought to be good enough. Instruction. He said to do it, you do it. But there's a second reason. Not just instruction. Identification. When you are baptized, you are identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We take the person, we put the person down under the water, that's death and burial. We raise that person back up, that's resurrection. That's what it speaks of. That's the visual that speaks of the invisible. In Romans 6, Paul writes, we were baptized into his death, buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we also should walk in newness of life. So you see, when you're baptized, you're making it personal. You're saying, he died for my sins. He died in my place, and I'm dead to the old stuff. I was thinking this week of notable baptisms in my life, baptisms that I had done. I started thinking back, and I suppose the first time I ever baptized a person was very memorable. I do remember it, because I did it all wrong. I had a home Bible study in Garden Grove, California, and people were coming, and a few people were getting saved, and so they said, Skip, let's have a baptism. Let's have a barbecue down at the beach and a baptism. I said, I'm in. Okay, so we went down to the beach, and rule number one, if you ever baptize in the ocean, face the ocean when you do it. That was my first mistake. I was holding on to this dear lady, and there was a guy on the other side, but we were not facing the sea. We were facing the other direction, the shore, because that's where the people were on the shore, and they were up there, and so we had our heads bowed and our eyes closed and getting all spiritual, and the reason that's a mistake is the ocean has what they call waves. And swells, sets of waves come in, and we were just right in the middle of a prayer, heads bowed, and a wave came in and put us all face forward on the sand. She got baptized, but very unexpectedly. Another time I was in the Jordan River, living on a kibbutz. I was in Israel, and we were baptizing, and I didn't know anything about the topography of the land. What's a good spot? What's a bad spot? I just picked a spot in the Jordan River, got out of this little truck we were in, and we started baptizing. So I got in first. It was like the worst spot in Israel to baptize somebody, because when I got in the river, I'm 6'5". I sunk in the silt and the mud up to my waist. I was stuck in the Jordan River. And so they were coming in. I go, don't come in. You got to unstick me. So the preacher had to get saved that day from the Jordan River. Then there's times when we baptize people out here in our little courtyard, and it's sort of humorous. We tell them, say, look, we're going to be careful. We're going to put you all the way down under the water and bring you back up. Okay. But invariably, there's always people who resist it. So they get down partway, and then they just go like, we're just like pushing up, you know. So it's just awkward. We got to kind of go. It's kind of fun, to tell you the truth, sometimes. But the most memorable is the man who I believe got it more than anybody else. I was about to baptize him, and he stopped, and he smiled, and he said, you may want to hold me down a little longer. I've got a lot of junk in my past I need to wash away. I thought he really understands the symbolism of this. Dead to the old, buried with Christ, risen from the dead in newness of life. That's why when we baptize people, we often begin by saying, welcome to your funeral. The old you is gone, the new you has come. That's what it signifies. Now let me finish the story that I began with as we close. I mentioned in Israel this onlooker who was watching us baptize, asking what it meant. So she waved me down, and I walked over to the fence. She introduced herself as, "My name is Olga." She said, "I'm from South America. What are you doing?" I said, "We're baptizing people." "What is that? They're going in all wet, or going in dry, coming out wet, and people are singing about it." So I explained the gospel to her. Jesus came from heaven, died for our sins in our place, rose from the dead. And this is a picture of that. And these are people who have believed that, and their lives are different. Their lives are changed. Jesus Christ has changed their lives and forgiven their sins. And I explained it to her in a few minutes, and she paused. And she said, "Do you think I could get baptized?" Now, she was in her clothes on the other side of the fence. She wasn't even in the baptismal site. She was just a tourist. And I said to her what Philip said to the Ethiopian, "If you believe with all your heart, you can." And she said, I believe. And I led her in a prayer right there through the fence, one side to the other, to receive Christ. And we got her over the fence and we baptized her in the Jordan, and she went back to South America, a new woman. That's baptism. And what that gives you is the answer of a good conscience toward God. Verse 21, a good conscience toward God. Think of it this way. He was immersed in suffering that you could be immersed in salvation. He was immersed in pain that you might be immersed in peace. He was immersed in death that you and I can be saturated, immersed in life. That's the exchange. Life. Do you have life? You can get baptized 50 times a day and not be a saved man or woman. It's not the washing of the flesh. It's a clear, open conscience before God, because you believe Jesus took your place, rose from the dead and conquered death and gave you life. Do you have that? Only you can answer that.
Jesus has given us abundant life through his death. And once you experience that, there's no going back. Now, let's join Skip and Lenya as they give us more insight on baptism.
In today's study, we learned that baptism is an outward demonstration of an inward change in the life of the believer. And so, Skip, talk more to us about why baptism is so significant, a great step in our life.
Well, it talks about death. You know, baptism is a demonstration that you have died and are alive again. That's why we put people under the water. We don't fire hose them or sprinkle them. We put them under the water. Because it's the symbol of going down into death, into a grave, and coming out. So I tell people when we baptize them, welcome to your funeral service. Mm. The old you is gone. The new you has come. You are a new creation in Christ. And this signifies that. And it's important for people to go and be baptized because they need to experience the symbolism of leaving the old behind. When you repent of your sins, that's something you do inwardly. When you get baptized, that's something you do outwardly. That shows what you've done inwardly.
It's a testimony to the world, too, that this is a turning point. And in case you didn't know it, this has happened in my life.
Yeah.
I want you to see and to watch, maybe for unbelievers, but also for believers to go, dude,
yeah,
remember you were baptized.
Yes.
You were changed. You were.
And we have a baptismal here at our fellowship that's outside. Mm-hmm. So it heats up. It's a water feature at the church, and it heats up. And it's a regular warm baptism that you walk in one side, walk out the other. In the meantime, the rest of the time, it's a waterfall. But what I love about it is that people gather around.
Right.
We get hundreds of people gathering around and hooting them on and praying for them and taking pictures of the event. It's really an event.
And I would recommend, if you have not been baptized, that you should be. And a lot of the people invite family and friends, mm-hmm, to be a part of that, almost like you do to a wedding.
Yes.
To say, you know, this is a covenant. Well, you're making a covenant with God in that baptism, and to have people testify and see that. So I would encourage you, make sure you invite others.
And in India, I've seen people march through their town so that all of their unbelieving neighbors, usually ex-Hindu or actually practicing Hindus, are seeing, oh, this person's making a break from that religion. This person's actually parading through town, and they go down to the river and they're baptized because they want to tell everyone the old is gone and the new has come. And when we baptize people, it is a symbol of death, but also resurrection. We don't leave them under the water. We bring them back up.
Some people do tell you to keep them down a long time, though.
Yeah, I've had people say, I have a lot to bury. Keep me down a while. But we always want to bring them up because you have a new life. And Paul said, even so, we should walk in newness of life.
Our listeners are a vital part of helping this ministry reach out across the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've been impacted by Skip Heitzig's teachings, we want to ask you to consider taking the opportunity to return that blessing by supporting the ministry of The Connection. Right now, on your computer, tablet, or phone, make a one-time donation at connectiononline.org/give. Or call us at 800-922-1888.
Do you want your life to count? Tune in tomorrow when Skip gives us some solid principles on how to do that.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.